Well, good morning, church. Good morning, online family. Those of you that maybe couldn't make it, or those of you that watch consistently online, good morning, welcome. Thank you for sharing your morning with us. As always, I'm excited and honored to be here with you. That any time that God has given me an opportunity to speak and to preach, I don't take it lightly. I really believe it's a time that He has called me to release something to you. And I'm just excited that this morning, first service was awesome. People really received what God was trying to say. But I want to give you a little secret. Can I tell you a little secret? I love my church. Amen. I do. Now I'm going to tell you why. Through the craziness of this pandemic, Pastor Tommy and the leadership team and the staff here have done everything they possibly can to make it safe for you, safe for me to come and to worship our King. To the extent that the government was saying 25 people, and Pastor Tommy said, I'll be here all day if I have to make sure that every single person that needed to be here because of what you're going through was willing to be here to make sure that you heard the gospel and you were able to come. And I'm thankful for God that He has given us the ability to live stream. I don't take that lightly. There's churches that don't have the capabilities that we do. That God has blessed us with Sandy, the staff, the volunteers. That no matter what's going on in this world, the gospel will be preached from this corner uncompromised. That we will continue to do what God has called us to do. And I'm thankful for God that He's given us those opportunities and the people that He's placed that have been obedient to serve and to release their gifts to the people that maybe aren't comfortable coming here today, but they will be. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Now, today's message is titled, Recapturing Your Thought Life. Now, I know this is not going to be your traditional Christmas message. This is not going to be a message that's going to be leading up to Christmas, leading up to the birth of Christ. How many people know pastors struggle just as much as everyone else does? We struggle with the same things that you do. And right now, through this season, this holiday season, along with the pandemic, I'm going to be honest with you, it's been rough. It's been rough for me. And God has been showing me some things to help me battle through and to have the victory and to win the victory. And He's been teaching me some things. And then, I don't know about you, but when that happens to me, then God all of a sudden says, okay, now I've made you a mouthpiece. I've made you someone that gets to share my gospel. Now it's your turn to take what I've taught you and release it to the people. So that's what this morning's message is. It's going to be real. It's going to be raw. But today, I really believe, is the day that I'm supposed to release this. So let's go right into the Word. Today's scripture verse is Philippians 4, verse 8. Thank you for standing and honoring God's word. It says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Amen. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to share your word, and I do not take that lightly. Father, use me as a vessel. Father, I pray right now that you put coals on my lips, just as it says in Jeremiah, and you burn away anything that would come from me. But Holy Spirit, you speak through me in a powerful way, Father God, that our lives be changed, that they never be the same, Father God. Use me as that vessel. I will go in any direction you want me to go. I will say whatever you want me to say. I submit to your authority. Speak through me, Holy Spirit. Illuminate the words to each of us and change our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. As many of you know, the holiday season is difficult for so many. For me, I struggle during this holiday season because I often think of my mom. I'm going to get a little emotional. I think of my mom. My mom passed away from cancer 1 month before my son was born. But my mom loved this time of the year. She loved the decorating. She loved loving on people. She loved buying gifts. She loved just sharing love to everyone, to the kids, to the aunts, to the uncles. If you came in contact with my mom, she was constantly sharing love to the point of every first snowfall, she would play Alvin and the Chipmunks. And at the end of it, it would say, "It's snowing," right? That song, right? Every Christmas. And it's just to this day, when I moved out of my house to my own house, the first snowfall, I would get home from work and I'd be like, I got an answering machine. I'd play on the answering machine and there's the 3-minute version of Alvin and the Chipmunks with "It's snowing" at the end. But I struggle with it because she's not here. She's not here to see my kids and for me to see the love that she poured out on her other grandkids, but I never got to see with my own kids. And I struggle with that. And I believe a lot of us have lost loved ones that we think of often at this time, and it can be hard. And I want to acknowledge that. And some of us during this time, it's financially difficult. We're already struggling hard enough just to be able to make ends meet, let alone the pressures of trying to buy presents for people and to do all the things that everyone else does. And that's a real struggle. And now throw on a pandemic. Seriously, throw on a pandemic. What about this pandemic has been easy, right? There's been nothing easy about this pandemic. If anyone thinks this pandemic's been easy, I'd love to have a conversation with you. Because it's real for us. It's struggling. Like every day, businesses are closing. They're being shut down. We have families and friends that might be sick, possibly dying, that some of us are living in a constant worry, a constant wonder, the constant battle of, am I going to get it? If I do get this, am I going to give it to my children? Am I going to give it to my grandparents, my parents? Can I go out? Am I going to be safe if I go out? It's tough, and that's real for all of us. For work, I think of myself, for those of you that don't know, I'm a school teacher by trade. And last year in March, I taught my whole class on a Friday, and then I came back on Monday, I was teaching remotely. Like, boom, totally changed. Never done that before. And all of a sudden, I'm in the rooms, I'm in your households. I'm seeing through a computer right into your lives and seeing the real struggle in the kids and the parents and how difficult it is to be constantly at home. And then I think, okay, I'm going back in September, and yeah, okay, we're going to open up schools again. Even if it's half the kids, we're going to try to make this live, remote, all this kind of work out, and all of a sudden they shut us all down again. And these kids are struggling emotionally. Parents are struggling emotionally, because not only that, parents out there that have kids, you're helping teach us. You're helping us teach your kids. I acknowledge that. I love you. Thank you for all that you're trying to do. It's not perfect, but it's real. It's a struggle. It's a stress. It's a what's going to happen kind of next. That's my story. And we all have stories. We can all share the stories of what's going on in our lives. But I think we all share something that's in common. That at some point during this, we've broke down. We've had a rough moment. We've struggled. The emotion's been real. I can tell you right now, there's been overwhelming days that I've wept, I've cried. And that's real. But I think of Paul, and this is what God was showing me. I think of Paul, and he writes in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, starting at verse 8. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And that was a great reminder to me. And I think of Paul, and I think of the verse that I just read, and I think of all the difficulties Paul faced in his lifetime. He had ill health. He had some beatings. He took a beating. He was imprisoned. His work life was hard. He had to travel by foot over hills and mountains and just walking around. That was his work life. He laid there sleepless at nights, wondering, what's next? What's tomorrow going to bring? Am I going to be persecuted? And am I going to be beaten? Where am I going? What am I doing for God? There was nights of hunger. He wasn't a wealthy man that he had everything he wanted. He had to live and wonder where his next meal was going to come from. He had to deal with people and their opinions that differed from his. That he followed Christ and others didn't believe and they argued. So he had to deal with people, even if they didn't agree with him. And he was shipwrecked. Imagine being on a boat that falls apart and he gets stranded on an island. Now, some of you are probably thinking right now, well, I can't relate to Paul because maybe we've never been shipwrecked. I don't know anyone that's been shipwrecked in here. I think maybe I can't relate to Paul because I've never been in prison. But I think we can relate. Just like Paul, we are trying to live our lives for Christ in the middle of the circumstance. Our journey's different, yes. But some of the struggles are the same. Some of us here are struggling with health, just as Paul did. Maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's another disease or a sickness. Maybe you know someone that's battling COVID right now. Others are sitting here and they haven't faced those struggles. Some of us sitting here are working really hard at life just to make ends meet. They're doing everything they possibly can. They're working three jobs. They're nonstop to finding odds and ends jobs just to make the ends meet for tomorrow. Some of us, I believe, lay sleepless at nights, laying in our bed, restless, wondering, what's tomorrow going to bring? What's tomorrow going to be like? Some of us don't know where our next meal is coming from or how we're going to pay our bills. And I think that's all real for many of us. We don't all have those struggles, but I think we can all relate to some aspect of Paul's struggles. But in the midst of his struggles, in the midst of living for Christ, he had a unique outlook and a unique thought life. How he viewed life in the midst of those struggles. So let's look at what he said again. 2 Corinthians 4:8. He said, "We are hard pressed on every side." How many of us right now feel like the world is pressing in on us on all sides? Can you repeat what he says right after it with me? "But not crushed." There's breath in you. You have life in you. You have the life of Christ that he's given you. He gave you breath. Yes, you might feel pressed on each side, but you are not crushed. How many of us feel perplexed? Like, what is going on? Right? But look what he says, and say it with me. "But not in despair." We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. Why? Because we have the hope of Christ. We have the hope of Jesus Christ within us. So we can be confused. We can not understand what's going on. But my hope is not in the world. My hope is in Jesus Christ. How many of us feel like we're being persecuted? We're being bombarded by everything. Left and right, we're like, what's next going to happen? Now this, now this, now this. Anyone feel like that sometimes? Well, guess what he says? Say it with me. "But not abandoned." You have not been abandoned by him. He is right with you as you face these trials, as you face the season in your life. He is right by your side. And that's important to know. We sometimes feel struck down. Sometimes we feel struck down and defeated. But look what the word says. And say it with me. "But not destroyed." There's fight still left in you. Let me encourage you this morning. There's fight still left in all of us. He's given that to us. And I say this. Listen how I say this. You might be knocked down and you might be laying on the ground. But guess what? When you get up, how do you get up? You get up on your knees first. So when you're knocked down, you're getting up. Just get up on your knees and look to him, because he has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. He loves you. And he's given you the breath to go on. Now how, after everything he faced in life, could he make such bold statements? And then I think of Paul again as he writes in Philippians 4, verse 8. And this is where I want to land this morning and really do my teaching. This scripture is going to give us an insight into Paul's thought life. It says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things." Now, we often read this verse and think, oh yeah, that's a nice verse. I like that verse. Sounds real good. Easier said than done, right? Yeah, that verse is great. I love it. It preaches really well. But it's easier said than done. Well, I want to challenge you this morning to challenge your thought life and to reflect on Paul's perspective and try for us to be intentional in our thinking. Now, what I mean by being intentional, meaning I'm going to change my thought process to the right way. I need to purposely, intentionally change my thought process. So let's break up the scripture for you. First thing he talks about is what is true. The word true means conforming to reality or fact. What is the truth that you live by? Are we believing everything we hear? Because right now, there's a lot to hear. You turn on the TV, you read the newspaper, you go online, everyone's saying something. But what is the truth that we live by? What do we say is true? I'm going to encourage you, this is the truth to live by, that whatever is being said, we need to stop and not let it in and say, no, that's not what the truth says. This is the truth. This is the truth. The world can say whatever it wants to say. But what I'm going to do is my thoughts are not going to be on what the world is telling me. My thoughts are going to be only based on the truth of what God has said to me and his promises, because his promises are yes and amen. And all of this that's in here is truth. So before I start listening to what someone else tells me, I'm going to go, yeah, you said that's nice. What does the word say? What does God say? What are the promises that are in my life? What is the truth that he's poured into me? Because we are putting a lot in our minds. And if you know this, the more you look at something, the more you think of something, it goes over and over and over in our mind. And some of us are so just like, whoa, this, and keep putting it in. And we never say stop. And we start believing some of the things that are not even true. And we start living that way. And there's consequences in living in that way. So what are we putting in our minds? Number two, he says, whatever is noble. Noble means showing high moral principles or personal qualities. What are the principles that you live by? Are they the principles that are laid out in the Bible? Are they the principles that others have told us to value? Are they the principles that your parents have instilled in you? Have we compromised those principles, and now we constantly have a battle in our mind because we compromised? Okay? We know what principles we live by. And when we break those principles, when we don't do that, all of a sudden, guilt and condemnation comes down because we go, shouldn't have done that. And then my thought life gets totally changed. It gets fixated on, is someone going to find out? Is someone going to tell someone else? What's going to happen now because of this? When in reality, our thought life directs our actions. And we need to make sure that we are thinking of our moral principles as we go through life, as the things we think of. We need to think of those principles. We also need to know whatever is right. in accordance to what is good, proper, or just. Does culture or others determine what you do? Are you affected by culture? Now, I know as a kid I grew up knowing what was right or wrong. I think we all kind of have that. We get taught the principles of what's right and wrong. But let's be honest. Life is a battle. And we are constantly battled with the option of doing what was right and choice B. Right? I can remember as a kid growing up. There's the right. I know what's right. Should I do this? Or do I choose choice B? And then I have to make a decision. And like all of us, I've choice B in my life at times, right? And because I've chosen choice B, my thought life changed. Because now it was fixated on something that I know I shouldn't have done. I know I shouldn't have said. I know, and then all of a sudden I get so overwhelmed that my thinking totally gets consumed by something that I originally knew was right and wrong, but I didn't intentionally do what my thinking was saying was right. My thought process, I let to go to choice B, which led me the wrong way. And then, obviously, there's consequences from our choices and our actions, but they lead from making those choices of our thoughts, knowing the right and wrong. And our thought life is in a constant battle 24/7. Sometimes we feel like our thought life's battling when we're sleeping. Then when we're restless at night and we're trying to sleep, it's our thoughts, it's our minds. And I'm trying to get to you today to put in the right thoughts. The next one I love, this is, if you're taking notes, this is awesome. Whatever is pure. And I love this definition of pure. It's not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material. It's without any extraneous and unnecessary elements. How many of us have unnecessary elements in our lives that complicate things, that affect us? Do we have people in our lives that affect our thoughts, in our emotions, and maybe they shouldn't be there? Maybe they're not bringing anything, they're just sucking the life out of you, as they say. That you're consumed by them. Your thoughts are consumed about what they think, about what they're doing, about what's happening in their lives, let alone what's happening in yours. And your thought process gets turned to them, and it consumes you. And in most of those cases, it's not bringing life to you. Is that an unnecessary element in your life? Is that mixing your thought process and going from pure to impure? Now, you ever enter a room and you're in a great mood, you enter a room, you walk in the room, and all of a sudden you're like, ugh, they're there. That one person can change the whole atmosphere in the room. Know what I'm talking about? I've ever been there? You're like on the go, you're all excited, and you walk in, you're like, ugh. And then all of a sudden, what is all your thoughts going? Ugh, they're here. What are they going to do? What are they going to say to me? How can I avoid them? Right? You went in a mindset, a great mindset, going to have a great time, a great day, a great moment. And then all of a sudden you walk in the room and your mindset, your thinking goes around because somebody else affected it. And then for that night, you're not enjoying your family. You're not enjoying what you're doing. But you're so consumed on the fact that somebody else has now taken you, taken your thoughts, and sold your thoughts and your opportunities and taken it away from you. They took captive of your thoughts. Are they necessary? The next one says, what is lovely? I love this one. It says, exquisitely beautiful. Are we focusing on the areas of our lives that are beautiful? Or do we spend so much time focusing on the things that are not? We live this great life, and something happens, and this little piece of negativity, this little struggle, all of a sudden consumes the rest of our life, and the only thing we can do is focus here. And we forget about all the goodness in our lives. But we struggle and we look here. And that's it. All of our thoughts. Oh, this is bad. Oh, no. What's next? Come on, seriously? And all the rest of this. And I forget about all the goodness that God has done in our life. All the things He's taken me through. All the opportunities. All the blessings. All the times that, yeah, I faced other things. But guess what? He was right by my side and they're no longer there. So this little thing here, you can't control me. Because my thoughts are controlled by Him and focused on Him. Now, we do get consumed by this little thing. Now, I go back to my mother, and I will get emotional on this one. My mom died of cancer, and there's a very vivid moment that I spent with her. I used to go to her cancer treatments with her when my dad couldn't because of work. He was out of town. I would take the day off, and I would sit with my mom. And I remember very vividly sitting at Roswell in the room, and she's hooked up to the machine, and my mom began to weep as I'm holding her hand. She cried. I'm like, Mom, it's okay. I'm right here. You can go to sleep. It's okay. It's okay. You don't have to stay awake. You don't have to talk to me. Just relax. I'm right here. I'm not going anywhere. And she's like, no, Scott. It's not about that. She began to cry. Cry. And I said, what is it? You want a cookie? I'm like, seriously. I'm like, there's cookies. I'll get you a cookie. She's like, no. Look at all of them. And if you've ever been at Roswell, and if you've ever been in one of those rooms, there is like 30 people hooked up to machines all over the place. And I'm sitting in the room next to her, holding her hand. She's weeping and she's crying and she's looking. And she's dying of cancer and she's looking around and she's crying. You know why she's crying? Because no one else in that room had anyone with them. None of them did. I was the only one. And she says, Scott, no one's sitting by their side. No one's holding their hand. But you're here with me, and you're holding my hand, and my heart breaks because no one is holding theirs. Now that's, as she's hooked up to the machine, getting her chemo, knowing that at some point, this disease is going to take her life. And she's not looking at this. She's looking at the beauty of everything else. This is real. But so is the beauty of everything else in our lives. We need to focus on what is exquisite, what is lovely, as the Word says. Are our thoughts focused on the things that God has done for us? Or are we only focused on the things that we believe He should be doing for us? The next one, whatever is admirable. Admirable meaning deserving respect or approval. I think all of us go through life looking for approval. Our thoughts, how do I do this so this person's going to be happy? What do I need to do to make my boss happy? What do I need to... And we get consumed in our thought process. Whose approval do we seek? Is it our husbands? Is it our wives? Is it our children? Is it our bosses? Do we ever look and focus our thoughts on Jesus Christ? Because He's deserving of the respect. He's deserving of our approval. He approves us. That was done at the cross. But we can show our respect to Him with our thoughts. We need to spend time focusing on Christ. Because what we focus on represents what we think deserves our time. So let me say it this way. What we spend time on controls some of our thoughts. Think about it. I think about, like, I got to go from A to B to C to D in a day because I got to run him here, there, all over the place. And that consumes my thoughts. What we do each day consumes our thinking. We think about it. In 5 o'clock, I got to do this. Today, I got to watch the football game. Like, what we do consumes our thinking. So we have to be intentional on what we're spending our time with. Because whatever we spend our time with will also be reflective of what we're going to be thinking about throughout the day. So if we have things in our lives that don't deserve our time, or they don't deserve our thinking, we got to make sure that we're not doing them so we're not thinking of them. And if we are thinking of them, we need to remove them and focus on the things that deserve our time. Things that deserve our respect and our approval. The next one he talks about is being excellent and praiseworthy. Excellent meaning extremely good and outstanding. Praiseworthy meaning worthy of praise. Do our thoughts reflect whom we should focus and give praise to? How often do we think throughout the day about our Lord and Savior? We claim to be Christians. We claim to love Him, to want to live our life for Him. We want to be consumed by Him. Yeah, but how much of our thought life does reflect that? How much time do we think about Him and His Word? How much time do we spend in prayer and in worship? How much of our thought life is focused on Him? Because in the natural, let me say it this way. When I first met my wife, my beautiful wife, I'm in trouble later. I was consumed by her. I was consumed. When I was with her, all I thought about was her. When I wasn't with her, all I was thought about was her. How am I going to show my love for her? How is she going to know that when I was away, my heart broke that I wasn't with her? How much more is it with the love of Christ for us? Do we have that same passion for Him? As our thought life and our things that we think about, the things that we think about doing, do they reflect on Him, that He's praiseworthy? He's the noble one. He's the honorable one. Everything that I'm talking about, He's lovely. Everything that I'm talking about is Him. It's Him. But how much time do we spend thinking about Him? Is it 5 minutes in the morning? A couple minutes before bed? How much of our day is consumed by our love for Christ? Because what we spend time thinking about affects us. It affects our emotions. Affects our sleeping. Our thought process affects our decision making. And I don't know about you, but I want to intentionally think like Paul. How he says to think about things that are true, that are noble, that are pure, that are lovely, that are admirable, that are excellent, that are praiseworthy. And I think of all those things, and you know what I think of? I think of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's truth. He's pure. He's lovely. He's admirable. He's excellent. He's praiseworthy. But it takes intention. Because the world is trying to stop us. The world is trying to hold us back from what God has called us to be. It's trying to hold us back from who we truly are in Him. Now I want to look at Romans 12:2. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. Now, I love this verse because for those of us that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, when you were saved by grace, and He became our personal Lord and Savior, our lives change. Our old nature is gone, and the new nature of Christ was given to us. And our minds were renewed with the mind of Christ. It says that in Corinthians, that we have the mind of Christ. Now, this verse is very interesting, though, because it says the word renew. And if you're taking notes, you got to write this down. This is probably my favorite part right here.
It says, renew.
The word renew means to resume after an interruption. It means to extend a further period of validity. It means to reestablish as in a relationship. Now let me tie this all together here for you. Think of your driver's license. And you renew your driver's license. You already had a driver's license. All you have to do is renew it. Guess what? As a believer in Jesus Christ, once he's your personal Lord and Savior, you have the mind of Christ. It's already there. All you need to do is renew the mind of your mind with the Word of God through prayer. It's all you got to do. You got to renew it. It's not like you don't already have it. You just need to renew it. And that's what the word is trying to say, to renew it. Now watch, it says the word renew means renew after interruption. I don't know about you, but I've had some interruptions in my thought life. But guess what? When we renew it, when we renew that mind of Christ, guess what? We go from that interruption and it goes back to what it was intended to. God has given you promises. God has spoken so many truths in your life. This is all true. The word renew means to extend for a further period of validity. When you were following Christ, when your mind was following Christ, guess what? There was truth. And maybe we stopped and our thought process wasn't perfect. But when you renew, the validity comes back because guess what? You start living by the truth again. And what does the word say? It says, the truth has what? Set you free. So when you renew your mind, oh, somebody's got to get this. When you renew your mind with right thinking, the validity comes back. The things that you didn't do right, guess what? The validity and the truth comes back. And then you're able to live by it because now you know what is true. You know what is pure. You know what is trustworthy. You know all those things. And now because you know those things, you then have the ability to live them out. But guess what? Once you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that is already deposited in you. No matter what your thought processes look like, you're not starting with a brand new license. You don't have to get the license. You don't have to. You've already accepted him as your personal Lord and Savior. Guess what? That truth, that life, that's inside of you. We might have been making wrong choices. We might have been having a battle of our mind going, we know what's right, but there's choice B. But guess what? Let's renew our minds this morning. Let's be intentional about our thinking this morning. Because we want to be set free. Well, guess what? It's the truth that sets us free. That's what the word declares this morning. And that's my prayer. But what practical things can I do? What practical things can I do right now that are going to help me? I'm going to give you three practical things. Here's the first one. When my mind begins to wander, you want to, one, pray. Have a conversation with God. Change the focus of what you are thinking to him. The moment you're struggling with your mind, just turn and start having a conversation with God. Stop that thinking immediately. Just thank him for what he's doing in your life. Thank you what he's done in your life. Praise him for what he will do in your life. Stop the cycle in your mind and go to him. Have a conversation. Two, if you're struggling and your mind begins to wander, read your word daily. We all need to put the truth of God's word in our heart and our mind. So then when we're facing things, we can bring back the truth. Because that's what's going to set you free. It's not what the world's going to tell you to do. It's not what man's going to tell you to do. It's not what the internet's going to tell you to do. It's not going to be the newscast that's going to tell you to do. It's going to be the truth of God's word that is going to bring freedom. 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 So read God's word. And I'm not talking about just in the morning. I'm talking about when you're having a thought and you're like, this is not right. What does God's word say? Stop. Grab God's word. Stand on his word. And then all of a sudden it might happen again at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Guess what? Oh man, I don't want to think about this. What does God's word say? It's not about just doing a little devotion in the morning, in the evening, or in the afternoon. It's about living the life that God has given us unto worship, unto praise unto him. Number three, worship. Change the atmosphere around you. Just as much as you enter a room and someone can bring you down and bring that whole atmosphere down, the light of Christ within you can enter a room and bring that atmosphere up. Amen? I don't know about you, my wife and my kids know this. There's been tough times with this whole teaching, not teaching, blah, craziness. And I click off at school and I come down and I have to blare worship music because I need to recharge. I need to worship him. I need to stop the mind of me thinking of all the different things that are going on in my mind. And I need to refocus on what is pure, what is worthy of my thoughts, and not focus on the things that shouldn't. Right thinking leads to right believing, leads to right living. And I'm going to say it again. Right thinking leads to right believing, which leads to right living. Now let me break this down for a moment for you. It starts with my thoughts. If I have the right thoughts, it'll lead me to the truth, to right believing. When I'm right believing that this is true, that these promises are yes and amen, that will lead me to the right living that God has called me to do. It will take me out of the struggle. But it starts with that right thinking and being intentional in my thinking that I need to do what I'm talking about today. Let me scroll up. I need to focus on what is true, what is noble, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is excellent, and what is praiseworthy. Because the word says, think about those things and not everything else. Now, I'm sure some of you wondered why at the beginning of my message, I put on sunglasses. To answer Pastor Rob's question, it's my prop. All right, you're wondering. This is the way we live life. Our thought life affects us. We see differently. It darkens us. When our thoughts are not right, it darkens us. It darkens what I can see, how I react. It affects me. I still can see. I still can live. But it does affect me. Now, here's the thing. When I start thinking right, I see way more clearly. I see everything I'm supposed to see. And I see it with a clarity, with a brightness. But guess what? Some of us need to be reminded. See with the wrong thinking? The light has always been there. The light has always been there. It doesn't change with these glasses on. We just don't see this light the same way you would see it if you were seeing it with the light of Christ, with the thoughts of Christ. The light doesn't change. He has not abandoned you. He has not forsaken you. The light of Christ still glows. It's still there. It's still there. It's still affecting you. But guess what? Our thought processes have blinded the truth of what we're supposed to be seeing. We're supposed to look at these lenses and go, that's not the way I'm supposed to see. That's the way I'm supposed to see. Because guess what? He loves you. He loves you with your blinders on or with them off. He doesn't change yesterday, today, and forever. That light is there. We just need to embrace the light. We need to remove our thought processes, refocus our thinking, be intentional, and think about him. Because once you have accepted him as personal Lord and Savior, that light shines for all of us. And I said this morning, and I'll say it again. God sent his only son to that cross for you and for me. And guess what? He would do it again, but he doesn't need to. It's done. It's done. It's done. Some people with this thinking that keeps this rotating in their mind over and over, the same image, the same thing. I'm not worthy. 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 Yes, you are. Guess what? From his point of view, you look the same. His light's coming shining on you. His love is pouring out on you. Somebody received this morning. His love is pouring out on you. He's never abandoned you or forsaken you. You just might not have seen it clearly. And today, my prayer is that you would. That we would be intentional in our thinking and focus back on the truth of who God is. For he is lovely. He's exquisite. He's praiseworthy. He's excellent. He's everything I taught today, all wrapped up in one. Can you stand with me this morning? Now, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me. This message is very personal, as you can tell from me, because I'm going to tell you, life is life, man. It's been tough. It's been tough. But he's shown me this, that we need to intentionally, at the moments of our struggle, stop and refocus our thinking on him. And by doing that, those thoughts, those things that were holding us captive, will be free. Because who the Son sets free is free indeed. Amen? And what is it? The truth will set us free. And he is the truth, the way, and the life. Amen? All right, now I want to pray. And to be honest with you, I want to pray that if we've had some wrong thinking, and I'm with you, I'm going to put my hand on my head. If you've had some wrong thinking and you want to change, I just want you to put your hand on your head, just like me. I'm putting my hand on my head because I need the right thinking of Christ. Because this is tough, guys. But with Christ, we are more than conquerors. Amen? Father, I come before you. We love you first and foremost. For you are honorable, you are lovely, you are pure, you are praiseworthy, you are everything that I taught this morning. We honor you and we love you, but your children come before you this day, seeking your wisdom, seeking your guidance, Father. I pray for clarity of mind, Father. I loose it in the name of Jesus. Things that are being replayed over and over in the name of Jesus. Freedom this day. Freedom this day. Your word says the truth will set them free, and I declare the truth of who they are in their lives, that they are more than conquerors. Father, I pray right now a renewing of their mind. I pray, Lord, as they pray, you speak to them. I pray as they read their word, Father, that you illuminate the word like never before, that you bring light and life to it, Father. That, Father, that they are changed and never again to have the thoughts that have battled them. I don't care if it was from birth to now, Father God. Those things, Father God, that are not lovely, that are not pure, Father, remove them. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray right now a release of truth, Father God. I pray that as things come bombarded into them, Father God, I pray that they are deflected with truth. Deflected with truth this day. We love you, Lord. Change us. Never let us be the same. The battle is not ours. It's yours. And in you, we are victorious. I honor you. I love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Can you give him a shout? Can you give him a shout this morning? Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Now, I do have I have Rob. Come on up, Pastor Rob. Yes, feel free. I told you before service.
Are we good with the mic? Yeah? Cool. Thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, but, you're not interrupting.
You kind of did allow me, sort of, earlier, like you said. I don't know. Personally, I think Pastor Scott is way more prophetic than what he lets on. I really do. I do. And what I heard through the word that he preached this morning just blew up my spirit. And I want to share something with you, because Pastor Scott is so on point that what you think and what you focus on, it sets the trajectory for where you're going. And I believe that we are in a time of acceleration right now on this earth. And I want to read for you real quick, Psalm 19. I got to take a breath. My heart's pumping. I'm sorry. It says that the heavens proclaim the glory of God. The skies display his craftsmanship. Day after day, they continue to speak, and night after night, they make him known. They speak without a sound or word. Their voice is never heard, yet their message has gone throughout the earth and their words to all the world. Again, that's Psalm 19, talking about the skies displaying God's craftsmanship, displaying God's plans and God's purposes. And I say that because, I don't know if any of you have heard, but December 21st, this month, there is a rare phenomenon in the planets. Saturn and Jupiter, they're coming together, and they're gonna become so close together. It's called a conjuncture, that they actually appear to be one large, very bright star. And it's so rare that the last time they say that this happened was in the year 1226. And the reason they could estimate that is because they have these planetary programs with computers where they input like the orbits and the rotation of all the planets and everything. And they could go back as far as they want, or forward in time as far as they want, and it'll show the placement of the solar system. And so they estimate that based on that same software, the same phenomena, a lot of theologians and astronomers say, is what the wise men followed to Jesus after his birth. And so I say that because this year, December 21st, is a winter solstice, which means it's the shortest day of the year. It's the shortest day because it is the longest night. It is the darkest day of the year. And I believe that God chose that day for this extremely rare phenomenon, because he's trying to tell us through the skies, as Psalms 19 says, that the time of darkness is over. After December 21st, the days get longer, which means there's more light. And God says that the time of darkness on this earth is over, that he will not tolerate it anymore, that the light is coming, that he is stepping in to our situation, into our world, and that the light will reign. And the light is the church, like a city on a hill for all to see. It is a lampstand that is not covered up, but for all to see. It is his church filled with the light of his son, Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world.
Amen.
And I say all this because I believe God is speaking to us that he wants us to be so focused on him and what he is doing and where he is going and taking this church, because it is going to change the face of this earth.
Amen.
But as Pastor Scott said, it's all dependent upon where your focus is. It's all dependent upon who you know. If you know Jesus, do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Is he the light of your world? Because he's going to take what's inside of you and he's going to amplify it. And you're going to need sunglasses. Proverbial speaking. I had to say that, and I'm sorry to interrupt, but I'm telling you, acceleration and light, just light. So thank you for that moment. Thank you for the time.
You can interrupt me anytime. As I said at the beginning of the service, and we say it here constantly at South Towns, if God's going to move, God's going to move. And we're not going to stop and do what we think man wants us to do, but we're going to be obedient to what God wants to do. We're not going to stop that. If that means 5 minutes, 10 minutes, that means whatever we need to do to position ourselves. If he wants to speak, I want to listen. I can think about what I got to go do, or I can stop and go, that's not important. You know what's important right now? Listening to what God is saying right now to me. Amen? One quick announcement before we pray for our offering. It's that time of the year. It's the angel tree where we join together and we sponsor kids here in the church and help some families out that are doing having some rough times at this time. If you're interested in joining and partnering with my family and many families here, we ask that you make a donation, and you can write it right on the envelope, giving tree or angel tree, and then you could turn it in, because that money we're going to raise and be able to bless a couple families that go here that are struggling right now to be able to put some smiles on some little kids' faces this month. So we want to ask you to partner with us if you are able, as always. But we want to take our offering. Let's be excited about giving this morning. Father, this is another way that we get to show you glory and honor. This is another way for us to show that you are praiseworthy, that you are admirable. This is another way to show our love for you. So, Father, we're going to be obedient to your word. There's a truth in this word that we're going to give our 10%. We're going to come and we're going to put seed in the storehouse. And your word declares that you are going to bless those that give. Your word says it's going to multiply it. So, Father, we stand on the truth. No matter what anyone else might think, we're going to stand on the truth this day as we come and as we give. We're going to give cheerfully, as your word says. But we're going to give it unto you because, Lord, you are deserving of it all. And we thank you for what you've blessed us with. We are mere stewards of it, and we release it back to you for your kingdom's glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Be blessed. Have a great week. We love you. We love you. Reach out if you need us. Have a blessed week.